The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai at 7 minutes past 12 on Man in Line through till 1. Call 66 1368 to tell us what's on your mind. 25 new cases of COVID-19 were detected yesterday. We now have 308 active cases, 7 people in Nobles Hospital, no one is in ICU. 353 people currently waiting for the result of a test, and 70 people booked in today for a test from the vaccination dashboard. 65,458 first doses have been administered, 63,842 second doses. That's 98% second dosed. Of course, the booster jabs have been announced. We haven't got a definitive number as to how many people have been jabbed, the frontline care workers and health workers, but 187 people are booked in over the next 7 days for the jab. Department of Health and Social Care's got 14,412 shots of vaccine in stock. And a big day today if you're driving to the EU, by the way. If you're off taking the vehicle into the EU, you may have to buy an international driving permit if you're taking your car to Europe today. Well, the MHKs are getting sworn in currently, and then it'll be down to business as soon as the first sitting starts. We'll tell you all about it. The new House of Keys gets sworn in today, presided over by the two Deemsters. 24, the new, of course, returning members also will take an oath at the first sitting of the new administration. Those elected last Thursday can either take the oath of allegiance or an affirmation. They won't be allowed to take their seats or vote in any proceedings until the swearing-in is completed. And later on today, 2:30, I think it's going to be, the new Speaker of the House of Keys will be elected. Who will that be? Well, if you want the whole thing live and in living colour, go to manxradio.com, select the AM player, or you can go to AM 1368. John Moss is there live, in hushed tones with the microphone. Don't know whether you heard Agenda last night. It was a really interesting show. The government apparently must accept the blame after 4 ministers lost their seats in last week's House of Keys general election. Alan Bell, former chief minister, criticised the government's communication strategy in the run-up to the vote. Tim Baker's out, Graham Cajean out, Geoffrey Boot out, Ray Harmer all out, all failed to be re-elected after serving in the Council of Ministers. And it used to be, once upon a time, if you're a minister in government, it was almost a safe passage to be re-elected. But 4 ministers are out. Alan Bell spoke to Phil Gawne on Agenda. And I just wonder what your thoughts are on this. That Mr. Bell said the government has to take responsibility.
4 ministers going. The chief minister himself has stepped out of politics now and retired. So that's more than half the council ministers that have lost their seats. I think nearly all the other ministers have lost votes heavily. In Ramsey, for example, Dr. Allenson's vote virtually halved, I think, since the last election. A disastrous result for him. But I think a lot of it is down to, had the election taken place round about the time of the first lockdown, I think there would be a well of support for the ministers and for government policy from the island right across the board. I think some of the steps, though, that have been taken subsequent to that have been problematic, shall we say, to say the very least, and have not gone down well with the public. And in fact, I know certainly many of the people I talk to have been very angry about the way the situation's been handled over the last few months. And I think there's a kickback on that. I think also, though, that the government itself has to accept a big proportion of the blame because of their communications policy over this period. When we've all been in office, we've had quite a robust communications process. We had a good interplay with the with the media generally, with the wider public.
And that, the robust word basically is, actually, we all, when asked, we went on the radio.
Absolutely. We were there accessible 24 hours a day virtually. And it gave ministers the opportunity to explain difficult decisions to the public through the media. Since this new government has come in, all that interplay between the media and government more or less came to a halt. It's now channeled in a very, very restrictive way through the communications department, which really prevents government or government ministers from explaining the nuances of some of the policy decisions they're having to take. And the public have reacted badly, I think, as much for the lack of knowledge as actually the actions that they've taken.
That was Alan Bell, former Chief Minister, talking. Well, his take on that. Obviously, the Council of Ministers has lost four ministers, and the Chief Minister's gone as well. So that's five. What your thoughts are on this? And again, it's something that, lots of people talked about it on the election night. Tony Brown, former Chief Minister, talked about it. Donald Gelling, former Chief Minister, talked about it. In particular, he was talking about the publicity for the requisition meetings. And they used to be a singular part of the run-up to the election. The captain, it was a big event, the captain of the parish calling a requisition meeting for the general election. But we'll see what happens. We'll see as this new administration gets underway. Obviously, the Speaker's going to be elected later on today. And then the big one, when the Chief Minister is elected, obviously, then Comyn will be formed as well. Note in from Graham, who just said, I'd like to know who in Ramsey's taken away those three disabled parking spaces at the Shoprite car park and replace them with a big yellow bus parking lane. We were talking about this yesterday. It's all happened. So we got in touch, and Barbara Wallace is the technical services manager from Ramsey Town Commissioners. Shoprite, she said, Barbara said, Shoprite approached the commissioners following an increase in the Connect Village bus service being used to bring people to Shoprite in Ramsey. They were concerned for the users of the service when alighting and boarding the buses and for the public using the car park. So a meeting was held between Ramsey Town Commissioners, Shoprite and Bus Vannin to discuss the safest outcome for all users of the site. It was agreed the preferred solution saw the removal of three disabled bays to create a turning and waiting area for the minibuses. The location was considered to be the most suitable as it doesn't impede traffic. It allows safe and easy access to both the side and rear disabled ramp doors of the minibuses. Also provides the Connect Village driver good visibility of pedestrians entering and leaving Shoprite. Vehicles moving away from the car parking spaces opposite the store and traffic travelling through the car park, ensuring the buses will be able to manoeuvre safely in and out of the discharge and collection area. And Barbara goes on, it's recognised that the disabled spaces at the front are at a premium, therefore that spaces on the ends of the first three rows opposite the entrance will be redesignated as disabled spaces to compensate for the loss of spaces within the bus turning area. Now, work's already been programmed to take account for the store's opening hours and not to impact on people trying to use the store. The work's weather dependent, but it's hoped that the disabled bays will be reallocated, hopefully by the end of this week. Although the solutions results in the loss of three of the short-term parking spaces, the use of the bus service is becoming increasingly popular and it's started to impede movement within the car park. So the proposal provides basically a safer means of car park access for all concerned. So the news is those three disabled parking spaces will be back later on this week, if not by the end of this week. Has that cleared that up? Thank you, Barbara, Technical Services Manager at Ramsey Town Commissioners. Caroline's with us now. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Well, I'm really happy today. The weather's getting better anyway.
It is. It is. It's a bit drizzly down here. I was just phoning regarding the 10 litres of petrol, that it's a criminal offence to store anything over 10 litres of petrol. But I can't be the only one that found out yesterday that I've been committing a criminal offence for years.
What have you been doing?
Well, I've been storing over 10 litres of petrol, which is on the government website, the petrol licence.
So what have you got, a 5-gallon tank, a 5-gallon
can? I have three jerry cans. And the government website says it is a criminal offence to store over 10 litres of petrol unless you are licensed to do so. And it's £45 for a licence paid annually. I've spoken to the OFT this morning, Paul, who's lovely. And what I have at the minute, I've also spoken to some friends who are also criminals, unbeknown to them, until today or yesterday. I have a 50-to-1 mix for the chainsaw, a 40-to-1 for my stripper, and a plain jerry can for my lawnmower. Now, OFT's advice is to keep it below 10. But in practical speaking, I mow my parents' lawn as well, which takes more than 3.3 litres of fuel. So in reality, to keep it under 10 litres, I would have to travel to the fuel station, the petrol station, every time I cut their grass. Now, there must be hundreds of people, if not thousands, in my position who are looking after a domestic garden who are committing a criminal offence. OFT say not to worry. But would you be worried if you were committing a criminal offence whilst just looking after a domestic garden?
Well, I think that it's what? The strimmer, the trimmer and the lawnmower.
The strimmer, the hedge cutter. I also have a chainsaw, but and the lawnmower.
Oh, yes. A chainsaw so, as well. To be quite honest, the food isn't that bad at Jerby, Caroline, I'll be honest with you.
I've been assured I won't go to prison,
no.
But no one can stipulate what the fine is.
I would think you'd be okay, to be quite honest. I think they're talking about people storing, you know, these big 5-gallon drums of the stuff just in case. And let's face it, nobody's going to run short of petrol on the Isle of Man, are they? So
no, aside from the nothing to do with the petrol storage, so many people are committing a criminal offence looking after a domestic garden. My point is that I think a reasonable amount would be 20 or 15 to 20. You can store, you know, flammable canisters that don't seem to have a limit on. Mm. That any normal person would keep those to a minimum. But there must be a large amount of people with more, just over, you know, more than 10 litres.
I wouldn't imagine they would enforce the letter of the law, because the fact is, if you have machines, if you have garden implements that use petrol, it's sort of manifest that you're not storing it just for the sake of it. You're storing it to run machinery.
But have you seen the petrol licence section on the government website?
What does it say?
You must obtain a licence in capital letters, sorry, in bold, and over 10 litres in bold. Now, to dispose of my excess, it's still drizzly here in Port Erin, I'm not going to chuck the lawnmower on, just willy-nilly. To get rid of it, OFT don't know. My partner went to the garage this morning to ask if they could dispose of excess. No. I've contacted, in line with OFT, the head of EVF, to find out how to dispose of excess fuel, which at the minute I'm waiting a call back from the lovely Katie. I just think that 15 or 20 litres would be more practical for people to not be, I mean, committing a criminal offence, to look after a normal domestic-sized garden.
I think
to make it 10 litres?
More importantly, Caroline, is the fact is, if the government regulation is 10 litres, I just wonder how people are off for household insurance.
Yes, you're quite right. That would depend on their insurance policy, surely.
But I mean, they would say if you're breaking a government regulation, it could possibly invalidate insurance. So somebody at the government needs to look at this and just put something sensible out about it.
Well, when my partner visited the petrol station, she also spoke to a couple of people who own boats that were oblivious to this as well. So thanks to EVF for highlighting it yesterday. That this is the law, because I'm not a boat person, but from my general knowledge, it's quite common for them to fill up a 20-litre jerry can. And the people I've spoke to this morning are completely oblivious that you need a licence for that.
How much is the licence?
Be aware. £45.
How much?
£45 annually.
£45?
Yes. So why I've come on it for the first time is I'm just looking after a domestic garden, 9 out of 10 people that I spoke to also were committing this criminal offence, unbeknown to them until now. So how many on the island are? And if they were going to enforce it, there's a lot of £45 there.
Well, it's an easy win, isn't it? If they get a couple of hundred, maybe 500 odd licences at £45 a time, that's a very nice win.
It's not bad, is it? I would think, because, I mean, I'm speaking from a personal point of view, from a small domestic garden, and I've not managed to explode anything or, you know, keep it in a dark, sheltered place and burp it, if you like, and look after it. So far, I've managed to not cause an explosion of such. But the difference between 10 and 5, you know, 15, sorry, up to maybe 20, I think would be more realistic and possibly wouldn't cause so much more of an explosion. I'm not a fire expert, but it falls in line with your general domestic property, based on the people that I've spoken to that are currently committing a criminal offence with what they've got in the garage and their shed.
And that's the point. Technically, it's a criminal offence.
Yes, yeah, it's on the government page. It's a criminal offence to store over 10 litres of petrol unless you are licensed to do so. So those that have boats that aren't aware that regularly fill up a 20-litre jerry can, they are committing a criminal offence. So I'm on just to let people know, because I wasn't aware of this until yesterday.
Okay.
And I can't be the only one that wasn't aware of it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Caroline.
Okay.
Does this
I
make...
hope they put it up to 20 or 15 or 20,
yeah,
maybe. They say we're going on about green and using less fuel. Well, to mow my mum and dad's lawn, including my own, I'd have to then travel again to keep it under 3.3 litres per jerry can. And also for those doing motorsport, that often also fill up maybe a 20-litre jerry can,
yeah,
that they're committing a criminal offence unless they pay £45 a year.
Oh, well, think of the stock cars on a Monday night at Onken.
Well, this is it. A lot of people, I wasn't aware until yesterday, so you need to be aware that it's a criminal offence.
Okay, thanks, Caroline.
Take care, have a nice day.
All right, 24 minutes past 12. A petrol station manager's appealing for Manx motorists not to panic after a week's worth of fuel sold in less than 24 hours. Can you imagine that on the Isle of Man? HGV driver shortages across have been leaving some forecourts. They're closed due to a lack of supply. That's not the issue on the Isle of Man. So put that to one side. That's not the issue. Station garage manager Michael Owen says there's plenty of fuel.
It's been ridiculous here. We've sold almost a week's fuel. From 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon to 11 o'clock this morning, we sold almost a week's petrol. And Manx Petroleums have plenty of fuel in. They've got plenty of drivers to deliver it. We rang up this morning to say that we were running short, and they said, no problem, we'll send a wagon down this afternoon. And we've been fully restocked again now, so there's no shortage at all. What people have to remember is, it's not brought to us by hauliers, which it is in the UK. It's actually brought to the Isle of Man by boats. And wagon drivers are actually employed by the firms, sort of thing. Like, and Manx Petroleums don't have any shortages at the moment. And I'm like, I can't believe what I'm seeing on the island, to be honest with you.
Again, how are we so much cheaper at the moment than England? Do you know?
I've no idea. It's something that doesn't often happen. But we should be happy that it is happening. I've seen as much as 160 down near Plymouth when we were coming through on the motorway there. It's something that the Isle of Man should be pretty pleased about. But we don't have many people on the Manon line saying that petrol's cheaper than the UK, but that's the way it is.
What about people filling up jerry cans and things like that? Has that been going on?
We had the first customer in this morning, came in a car that probably does 40 miles to the gallon. And he filled that up and then filled a load of jerry cans as well. So he's probably got enough for about 2 months' worth of fuel now. We've said keep an eye on the pumps. Like if there's people coming in filling multiple cans, it's just to switch the pump off straight away. I don't understand it. It's completely different on the Isle of Man than it is in the UK. I just don't get people's mentality at all.
It's funny, nobody's phoning the Manon line up to say petrol's loads cheaper than it has been. Well, I'll warn you, the price of crude oil is going up now. So it's $80 for a barrel of Brent crude. So it'll be back up again. I was incensed enough to phone the... Well, he didn't phone, but I was almost incensed enough to follow... following the programme I heard last night, the political programme Agenda. There were two recently elected ladies on there, and they were asked, what's the incentive to get off the back benches when there was only £5,000 difference between the position? The lady who answered said there's no incentive to get there's a real problem with the system at present, says this texter on 640. Surely the answer should be the incentive is to make a difference. Rightly saying that they shouldn't do it for nothing, but like 90% of politicians, are they just in it for the money? Thank you, Steve, for that comment as well. Shout out, by the way, to FC Alaman travelling away this afternoon for a match tonight. A message in just to say it's not just communication that some of the previous members failed with, but also their blind faith in civil servants and what they told them and the apparent lack of oversight on major schemes and budgets, says James. Well, no doubt they'll be, well, let's hope they'll be thinking about it within government. The fact that four ministers lost their seats in fairly brutal circumstances, and obviously Dr. Allinson's vote went down an awful lot, although he was comfortably returned in Ramsey. He will be very cognizant of the fact that his vote went down. Here's a message in, just say maybe the main reason that ministers lost their roles in government is because they were incompetent. Well, that's your view. Lee, thank you for that, Lee, as well. Mr. Bell is wrong, says Dave. I'd say it's to do with the ineptitude of the ministers and the vast amounts of money that were blown out on the projects. Here's a message in just to say the news mentioned that Agenda also ended by saying the ministers and politicians are in real trouble if they don't do their jobs. Well, Ian just said if they re-elected, they weren't competent, and that was clear for us all to see. A bit like both of them 5 years ago, says Ian. It's Elizabeth now, man in line. Hi, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon. I just like to say those politicians that have been elected, that they must be in it for the money. I wouldn't mind getting £67,000 a year.
Why didn't you stand as an MHK, Elizabeth?
I'm too old and I haven't got the education. I'm sorry. I went to school at 4 and I came out at 14 and I did a lot of messing in between. I didn't study well. I've no qualifications, not even a leaving certificate. But no, I'm too old, so I am, to stand for a politician, so I am. But yeah, like I said, I haven't got the brains. Common sense, I've got plenty of common sense, but I'm not very well educated to stand.
Well, maybe they get paid well because they've got the brains.
Well, I don't know what the boo-boos all of them are making. I wonder sometimes, do they have the brains? I might be better in there myself. So I might. They have no common sense. I mean, look how much they've paid for that promenade and all the different things that they're spending money on, you know, totally unnecessarily. Was it necessary to have all that fancy pavements on the roads, on the pavements to going down on the promenade? And one part of the promenades, it looks like little sticky up diamonds. If anybody walks on those, they're liable to go over on their ankle, you know, on the seaward side. Where would it be? Well, halfway along the prom on the seaward side, there's a square and it's all square diamonds sticking up type thing.
The promenade's supposed to be finished at the end of this month.
I believe that, the pigs would be flying and we'd be shooting bacon. So, no way, that'll never be finished. And why did they, I don't know why they decided to spend all that money, 27 million and whatever it was, to get that boat built in Korea, when they should be doing, they're all talking about shop local, buy local. Well, why didn't they get UK or Belfast or somewhere to build that boat instead of spending all that money in Korea? I'm sure it wouldn't have been as dear here or whatever. You know, that's a lot of money, so it is.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Okay. Bye.
George, it's 29 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock. The number of people that stood for election shows how unsatisfied the public were with the government at the time. A popular MHK wouldn't face so many opponents, says Chris B. Well, that's quite right. And in the past, certain MHKs got re-elected unopposed. Certainly, Tony Brown did study of Castletown MHK when he was Chief Minister. Tony Brown was unopposed, I think, in 2001. The UK limit, says Nigel, for domestic storage of fuel is 275 litres. So why in the Isle of Man is it just 10 litres? If it is 10 litres, there are lots of people, there are lots of criminals, technically criminals, who are storing more than 10 litres of fuel. Could be you. What about heating oil? Does that count?
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of it.
If your hearing isn't as good as it used to be, contact Island Hearing. Run by a local family for 12 years, you'll find excellent treatment, help and advice at Island Hearing. Offering professional hearing tests, the latest hearing aids and competitive prices from our branches in Douglas, Ramsey and our main hearing clinic in Port Erin, where we also provide the most advanced wax removal treatment on the island. Call the Island Hearing team on 830 722. Island Hearing, we're listening.
Oh, look, he's sleeping like a baby. He always sleeps well knowing we're fully covered by our Blackford & Company's car insurance policy.
They offer great value car and van insurance for all Isle of Man residents, with internet prices, local service and advice, and help when you really need it. So call 832 042 today for a quotation or visit manxcover.com.
Think local, stay local. Think Blackford & Company for car and van insurance on 832 042.
Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorials skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Tonight at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermer and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
At the weekend, I popped along to Bishop's Court Farm to the first of the Mananan Sheepdog Trials. I catch up with some of the competitors from the UK and locally.
And I attended a long-standing event in Andreas, formerly known as the Andreas Root Show, now the Andreas Produce Show.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along. It's 26 minutes before one. Simon on South Quay says, on the subject of petrol, reiterate to the public, our petrol and diesel is brought in by sea, and therefore no need to panic unless the cargo vessels that bring the petrol are on strike, which they aren't, or having difficulties, which they aren't. No reason why we should run out of petrol or diesel. Thank you, Simon, for that as well. The answer is stop believing everything you see on ITV or BBC. It's the Isle of Man. It's not going to happen. Why does that lady need so much petrol if she has a normal-sized garden? Well, maybe she does it a lot. She did her mother's as well, Dave, as well. A note in that just says, I'm a gardener and I often have 10 litres of mixed two-stroke fuel and 5 litres of straight fuel in my van. I tell you now, I'm not going to pay the government for a licence for this as well. I'm certainly not going to pay £45 to carry around 5 litres of fuel for a year. It's a ridiculous rule. If I go to the Derby Hilton, oh well, I can't see it happening myself, but 10 litres does seem a bit of a reaction. 10 litres, what's that? 10 litres, 20 pints? 2.5 gallons? I think Tim Baker was dealt a bad hand by the contractors on the promenade, but he did invent the roundels. So did he agree the price to do the new sea terminal in Liverpool? The answer is no, but paid the price off for someone else's mistakes. I think the government's lost a good man who never evaded questions but was a scapegoat for no reason of his own, says Charlie with Tim Baker. I have to say, Tim Baker was always really polite and very prompt in responding to any questions that the man in line gave to him. But that's politics nowadays. He's the ex-DOI minister and, of course, former Aaron Michael MHK. Breaking the law with fuel, thousands of gallons are stored in vans for the TT and MGP. Well, that's a point, isn't it? When TT and MGP come back, what's going to happen to it? That's a lot of licences. How many fuel points are there by the grandstand? It's intent that matters. If you're living in an apartment in Ramsey and you have a bathtub full of petrol because you're hoarding it, it's a safety concern. It is technically hoarding it, but Andy says it is all down to intent. What you're doing. Well, yeah, but what about the letter of the law? If the letter of the law says you can only have 10 litres of fuel and you have more, technically you're breaking the law. So maybe that'll be the first thing that Keith, the brand new Keys, does, is to reinvent that. I think the licence was brought in some years ago, says Norman, when a fire broke out in a flat where petrol was stored, says Norman. Thank you. What about their bike and cart races at Gerber? They have to carry their fuel with them, says Liz. As well. And Dave said, crikey, what about those idiots with the toilet paper? Were you shopping over the weekend? Is there plenty of loo roll, plenty of washing powder, plenty of dry pasta, bottled water? Or are they still using up last year's? I think it's scaremongering by the BBC. Well, you know what the BBC is. Says that 3 weeks ago, the UK had the tanker drivers, the same number of tanker drivers they has this week, and no shortage of fuel. I think if you read between the lines in the UK, there are some people making hay while the sun shines where this is concerned. And certainly, I think the price has certainly gone up and the wages have gone up for certain HGV drivers in the UK. Talk about fuel shortages, telling people that it's cheaper here, but rest assured it'll go up. Watch the queues now, says James. Well, you can only put so much in, let's face it. You can only do so many miles per week as well. It's Juan with us on Man in Line. Hi, Juan.
How are you doing, Andy, today?
You've not filled the van up, have you?
Oh, yeah, I am totally illegal today. Yeah, yeah, I've got all my jerry cans filled. You know, it's just blown up, hasn't it, in the last day. And then let's go back to common law. Let's get rid of all these statute laws and all this here stupid bylaws. And let's all go back to living by the law of the land and common law and common sense. And we'll get rid of all this stuff in one foul swoop.
Will you be paying £45 for a licence to store more than 10 litres of fuel?
I think you already know the answer to that, Andy, without incriminating myself. and this fuel business in England, I mean, to have a tanker driver, it's not just a HGV driver, he has a separate licence to deal with handling fuel and petrol. There is no shortage of drivers. There's the same amount of drivers that are doing it this year as last year. This, again, is hype from the media. And this has been going on and on and on. I mean, someone mentioned the toilet roll thing last year. And because everything is done in time. So if all of a sudden you've got a massive demand, then it's going to run short purely because people are buying a massive amount in one time and it exceeds what they normally have. So that's just the law of business. But the media has just fueled this again, haven't they? And again, they're causing so many massive problems with everything else. Going back to the media, what I've said before, why are they making issues about something that's not there, but yet there's thousands and millions of people in the streets around the world protesting for their rights and lockdowns, and nothing gets reported. So the media is complicit in everything that's going on. I mean, even your main media reading, you've said before you buy your stuff from the BBC, and the BBC is very complicit in what they've been doing. So it needs to break. That cycle needs to break, and I think, you know, we've got the likes of GB News there now being broadcasting for 100 days and a little bit more of an impartial view on what's going on in the world.
Aren't you happy you live on the Isle of Man?
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so. And you know what? I mean, they brought a advertising campaign out a while ago, and they look forward to looking back. And wouldn't it be nice if we could attract so many people to the Isle of Man if we could turn around and say, the Isle of Man where you can still spend cash, the Isle of Man where you can still drive a car, the Isle of Man where you can still eat meat and fish if you want to. Wouldn't that be a nice little slogan to get people to come back here while the world is going crazy?
Yes, go forward to the past.
Yes. Yeah, we can all live in common law and we'll get rid of all our statutes. And that'll get rid of half our government as well. That'll be absolutely fantastic, wouldn't it? How simple's that?
They've only just been sworn in.
Yes, and next week there'll be a lot of swearing. So,
right. Thank you, Juan.
See you, Dandy.
All right. Alan is completely right. Alan Bell, this is, says Dick, about how anyone can believe a word of what's been said by the last administration. Every budget, be it the Prom or the Liverpool Dock, is a farce. And half the directors of Manx Care live in England. Well, Theresa Cope lives here. She's the boss. She does live here. And we never see their face. We need executives that live here and can be heard from instantly when people are worried, and Treasury has to be the worst as well. God forbid any of Comin ever say sorry, or the ministers give a straight answer without referring to somebody else. Well, we'll find out. Thank the Lord it's over for them, says Dick. Most of the old lot have to go. We'll find out what the new lot have to say. We now have 10 female MHKs. I wonder if it's going to be different now, because the gender balance has really, really skewed. So what's going to happen in the middle of everything? You know, the Liverpool landing stage and the promenade, the flumes aren't mended yet. They haven't done the flumes yet. But at the back of it all, do you remember, even before COVID, we had the problems with the teachers and the many teaching unions falling out with the minister there. As the new members are sworn in this morning, a teaching union is calling for the new MHKs to step up and discuss issues concerning education on the Isle of Man. Education came up lots and lots in the run-up to the general election. The NEHT, the head teachers, National Secretary Rob Kelsall, says there are urgent matters to discuss.
There is a huge funding gap here, and, you know, most politicians, I'm sure, you know, get the value of education, but it's clear that now it's time for them to step up and deliver for those children and young people. The pupil funding levels in the Isle of Man, if we compare, and we did a comparison just last year, shows that we have got you know, an issue here where, for example, if a child was educated in the United Kingdom, they would be getting on average at £4,343 per pupil. In the Isle of Man, it's just £3,924. And indeed, if that pupil was taught in the Manchester school, they would be getting £5,200 per pupil. Yet again, it's only £3,900 in the Isle of Man. So there's a clear issue here in regards to, A, the value that politicians put on education, but that recognition that education should never be seen as a cost or a burden on the Treasury. It's more of an investment in the children, young people, and the future of the Isle of Man.
What are the other issues that you would like to raise with them, the MHKs?
Yeah, well, we've got an issue, again, around the well-being not only of pupils, but also of staff. We've seen the crisis in regards to the pandemic, and, you know, already, you know, teachers and leaders work the longest hours, actually, if compared to any other profession. And yet, actually, when we look at, you know, the conditions by which school leaders and teachers work within, long hours, huge amounts of what we describe as unnecessary bureaucracy. We want to see a commitment to reducing, you know, that workload, that burden. What we want to see here is an education system that meets the needs of all pupils. And we know that just, you know, again, surveying members in the Isle of Man, particularly children with complex needs, with additional learning needs, that there simply isn't that support for those children in our schools. We've got an inclusive system in the Isle of Man. We should celebrate that. But actually, you only have to lift the lid and see actually that there is an inadequacy in terms of the support that those children get.
It's 14 minutes to one on Manx Radio. And interestingly, there was a survey came out. This is regarding the UK, but I think it will be extrapolated over here. And new evidence from primary school teachers show that almost 9 out of 10 primary school teachers know that children at their school, certain children, haven't eaten breakfast. So 90% of primary school teachers know a child at their school that hasn't eaten breakfast. Teachers report that if they noticed that a child was in need of something to eat, 81% of them, the vast majority, have offered them something to eat, like a slice of toast or some cereal at school. Now, these teachers estimate that more than a quarter of their students have turned up to class. These are primary school teachers, kids, turned up to class hungry. And teachers report the children, well, obviously, if they're hungry, they're going to get upset more. Their blood sugar's low, so they're going to get upset. They struggle with PE and often become disruptive simply because they're hungry in the morning because they haven't had a proper breakfast. The study found out that after talking to parents, teachers come up with a wealth of different reasons. The parents come up with a wealth of different reasons as to why children skipped breakfast. Top of the list was they woke up late. 6 out of 10 people said that primary school children missed breakfast because they woke up late. 42% admitted they simply can't afford to provide breakfast every day. I just wonder how prevalent that is on the Isle of Man.
Together, we can prevent suicide. But would you know what to do if a friend, colleague, or loved one needed help? With an assist course from St John Ambulance, you could learn the skills to intervene and help someone stay safe. Your knowledge could be the difference between a life lost and a life saved. Learn life-supporting applied suicide intervention skills on a St John Ambulance assist course. For more information, call St John Ambulance on 674 387.
The Ramsey Garden Centre sale is now on, featuring a huge range of garden items at vastly reduced prices. Don't delay. Grab a garden bargain now. There has never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road, Ramsey.
Like the sound of a flexible pay-as-you-go plan with no ties? Sure you do. Our simple-to-use pay-as-you-go plans are contract-free and put you in control. So you only pay for what you want when you need it. And you even get unlimited data when you top up using our app. Freedom has never felt so good. Visit sure.com today and...
Manx Radio, together with Standard Bank, are celebrating South African Heritage Day 2021. Right now on manxradio.com, you'll find podcasts plus South African cooking recipes, tips and fun from South African celebrity chef Ruben Riffel. Follow Manx Radio on our social media channels and join our celebrations. And catch up on everything online at manxradio.com right now, wherever you are. Our Heritage Day Braai with Manx Radio and Standard Bank.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys.
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate.
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train.
Oh, and Raffles the Dog. And, of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railways' fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30, on Manx Radio, on AMFM, online, on smart speakers, and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10-1 it is. The Isle of Man's new Lieutenant Governor has arrived on the Isle of Man ahead of a swearing-in. Everybody's swearing-in at the moment. Sir John Lorimer and Lady Philippa will he'll be sworn in tomorrow. He won't formally take up the role until after tomorrow's proceedings at Castle Rushen. He was welcomed at Government House last night. So welcome. This is the Man in Line. Sir John, you'll get used to it. Every weekday lunchtime, 12 to... Have it while you're having your lunch. So welcome to Sir John Lorimer and Lady Philippa Lorimer, MBE, the new Lieutenant Governor and wife as well. So all the best to you. Somebody's asking about the international driving permit. Before Brexit, British motorists were able to drive across the continent without any fuss. But since severing ties with Brussels, the situation's become more complex. If you're from the Isle of Man, you're advised to carry an international driving permit, even though you may not need it for certain countries. It's 11 quid. Get it from the post office. It's valid for a year. One thing that won't change is the national identifier. The GP sticker, the GB sticker in the GB in the UK will change to UK following this, but we can still use GBM. So their GB will change to the UK. We remain GBM. This is going to be fun, isn't it? There could be a problem for anybody planning to drive in Croatia, Estonia, Latvia or Lithuania, as those EU member states aren't part of the Geneva Convention on Road Traffic, which dates back to 1949. It's a condition that all countries who are signatories display the correct signs lodged with the UN. Meantime, talks continue with the Isle of Man, Jersey, Guernsey and Gibraltar with the UK Department of Transport as to what the implications are for the Crown dependencies and overseas territories if they continue to use the national identifier codes, ours being GBM. Knows that the decision's been made so far, but it seems there's going to be no problem for the Isle of Man to retain GBM as the national identifier. If you're planning on driving to the European Union, research the regulations of the countries you intend to visit and ensure they have the correct documentation before travelling. But an international driving licence for £11 looks like a prerequisite. A message in from 515. Andy, no households allowed to store more than 5 litres of petrol or diesel on their premises, I believe. It is against the law. The sticky-up diamond stones on the prom, so you don't walk on it. Moreover, spending on the horse trams, it's a disgrace. The traffic on the main roads being brought to a standstill with the horse tram pinch points, says Jack. Is a message in just to say, I think Mr. Baker lost because of the prom, Mr. Boot and Mr. Perkins, possibly because of the elm trees. Oh, I'd forgotten about the elm trees. Whatever happened to those? And a message in, this is from... It was Grace, I think. Hi, Grace. She just said, what's the situation with the flu jab? People on the Isle of Man are being urged to have a flu vaccine this year due to fears there could be reduced immunity to flu.
Well, there are concerns over reduced immunity in the population due to the low levels during the pandemic, during lockdowns, due to a lack of travel. We're expecting more social mixing this year, which will lead to faster transmission across the population. There's a prediction that the flu outbreak this year may be as big as 50% more than it was in previous years. And obviously there's a possibility of the flu pandemic and the COVID pandemic coinciding, putting greater pressures on the health and social care system.
That's local pharmacist Mukunda Majoria, who's urging everyone eligible for a vaccine to book an appointment. Flu vaccines are being rolled out this month via pharmacies, GP surgeries, schools and even at the Chester Street Vaccination Hub. There, those eligible for their COVID-19 booster jab will be offered both vaccinations at the same appointment. This year, the flu vaccine is being offered to all adults over the age of 50, children in years 7 to 11, people with pre-existing medical conditions and pregnant women.
5-1 on Manx Radio. Brett says, Andy, come on, the police can't even enforce the speed limit, let alone snoop in your garage for stored fuel as well. Average lawnmower does 1 hour per half gallon, so 10 litres, 2.5 gallons, is 4 hours mowing. How big is the garden? Well, maybe she does it a lot. The ousted ministers are responsible for their departments until replaced. So how does Tim will meet today with ousted ministers who are still accountable, attending as well? Listen to John Moss. He'll explain everything. Kaylee said, who are the new people who've joined Snaefell Surgery in Annika? I asked the boss, Teresa Cope.
Just in Manx Care, we're just about to announce that we have two female advanced nurse practitioners who are about to join the Snaefell practice as partners. And that's important.
Crikey, Snaefell's going to be fully staffed.
Yes.
For how long?
Well, we hope this is a sustainable future for Snaefell. Right. It's had its ups and downs. But the fact that we have appointed two new partners, two great advanced nurse practitioners to support Stefan in his role is important. They just happen to be women, but they happen to be incredibly strong partners and hopefully a brighter future for Snaefell practice.
That's the situation. Jeanette Qualtrough, Mary Rose Pritchard start their new roles at Snaefell Surgery in Annika this Friday. Andy, the max fuel licence is per person. Is it per person? If you have five family members, you can legally store 50 litres. Yes, but you have to buy five licences. Thank you. We're taking part in a motorcycle endurance race soon, says Adam. It's 4 hours long. We'll need 60 litres of fuel. How do we go on with that? I'm sure somebody in government's taking notes down as we speak. In response to the lady asking why so much petrol, strimmer 40 to 1, hedge cutter 50 to 1, lawnmower, plain petrol. I'm one of many, certainly not going to get a licence. Thanks to Sarah Hendy producing today. Man in Line is back tomorrow at midday.
WINT.